opening this morning to the 17th chapter of the book of John, John chapter 17. Let me read to you these two verses, verses 9 and 10 of the 17th chapter. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now all the Bible students, commentators, those that are known as theologians who devote the biggest part of their time, devoted their lifetime to the study of the Bible, they all describe this 17th chapter as the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the Father. High priestly prayer of the Son of God unto the Father in heaven. And in his prayer, here, the burden of his prayer has to do with his people. I pray for them, for his people. You remember I told you here a Sunday or so ago about, well, maybe it was on Sunday night, I told you about the high priest in the Old Testament, Aaron, the high priest, who was set apart by God himself to the office of high priest. And his office was to represent those that would come to God, those that would make their approach to God in confession of their sins must come through the high priest, who made atonement for himself and then for his people. And I remember telling you that God, in his grace, allowed the Israelites to see the beauty and the glory of the one who was about to represent them before the Most High God in his high priestly garments, told about the fine twined linen. He took the gold and cut it in strips, little fine strips, and took those strips, these skillful and cunning crafters, took these little fine strips of gold and interwove that gold into the garments, into the ephod, this outer garment that the high priest wore. And it was so effective. They done their weaving of the fine strips of gold It was so effective that it intermingled in the material, in the cloth, so as to be a part of the main outer garment, but yet be distinct from that garment. And this garment, made up of the material, with the various colors of scarlet, blue, and so forth, represented the manhood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gold that intertwined that material, which was a part of it, but yet distinct from it, represented the Godhood. So it was man and God in one person, the high priest. And that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, who intercedes for us, who guaranteed God the Father that He would undertake for the people that God had given Him. The chosen, the elect of God. He said, I'll undertake for them. I'll be their surety. I'll guarantee it. I'll fulfill all of the stipulations of the agreement and transaction that was made in eternity past. And I'll accomplish redemption. I'll make atonement for them. They were His. Certainly, by the purchase price, He shed His own blood for them. But here, He pleads for His own, in this high priestly prayer, for His own people as Aaron, the high priest, pleaded for the Jews when He had their names engraved in the stones, and it was on His breastplate, and they was always to appear before the presence of God. Those that the high priest represented, and the glitter and the sparkle of these diamonds, these jewels, precious stones. Here, the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, pleads for His own people. The people that the Father gave Him. The people that the Father hath chosen. He hath chosen us in Him for the foundation of the world. So He pleads for His own people. Their names are on the priestly breastplate. He pleads for them. The point to which I want to call attention is this. Is the reason why He does not pray for the world, but prays for His people. That's the point right there that I want to try to emphasize. Why? He prays not for the world, but for His people. He says, I pray for them. Those that He represents. Those whose names are written on His breastplate. Those that the Father hath chosen. I pray for them. He prays not for the world, but for His people. And He puts it like this. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Now, this is the reason why I praise not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Now, this is the reason right here. For they are thine. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. I pray for them that you've given me. For they are thine. Well, you know, you've heard me say, and other preachers, and you've read for yourself, time and time and time again in the Bible, that God has a people, and the people that He hath chosen, He has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to find them, to redeem them, to make atonement for them, and to find them, and to bring them unto Him. And no man cometh unto the Father except by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He prays not for the world, but He prays for His people, and He puts it like this, for they are thine, for they are thine. Now listen, as if they were all the more precious and more dear to Him because they were the Father's. That seemed to make the people that He prayed for so much more precious to Him because they are thine. They are thine. Huh? I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now, we would have thought, as we think in human terms, that He might have said, they are mine, therefore I pray for them. Now, that would have been true. That would have been true if He would have said that, I pray for them because they're mine. They're His, certainly. But if He would have said it that way, we would have lost some of the beauty and the force of this great truth that we find here. The beauty would have been lost. He indicates by saying, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are thine, that He loves us all the better. He loves us seemingly much more. And He prays for us earnestly, fervently. Why? Because we are the Father's. Those I represent, they are thine. We need to remember and understand, if we can, that our Lord has undertaken suretyship engagements on the account of these people. These people that the Father hath chosen before time ever was. And this desperate mission that the Lord Jesus Christ is on, why He came into this world, is to seek and to save sinners whom God hath chosen before time ever was. And He, in order to bring them unto God, He must fulfill all that's required of God. Of us, He's got to fulfill it. We are lost before God. We wandered away. All we like sheep have gone astray, each to his own way. We're sinners by nature and by choice and by practice. That's all we are. We have no ability in ourselves to fulfill the requirements and the demands of God Almighty. But our Lord Jesus Christ has undertaken as our surety to fulfill the requirements for us. Our high priest. Those that thou gavest me, he said, I've kept them. Well, let me say this in passing now. Those that belong to him, I know that there's times when I myself, and that's not to say that when I say I myself is to cause you to think there may be a little more in me than there is in you. I don't mean that at all. There's probably less in me than there is in you. But just humanly speaking, I've been in the way for a number of years. And I've professed to be saved by the grace of God for a number of years. But yet there's times, I guess, not too many, but there's times that I say to myself, am I his or am I not? I know that God found me. I know that. There's certain things you know. I can't give you no specific evidence of anything. I haven't talked with God personally as a man talketh to his friend, like God spake to Abraham. I've had no visions like the Apostle Paul had. But if you was asked me for proof, I could not give it other than the Word of God and other than to say, I know that I know. I know that I know. There's something here. I know it. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You need to remember, and I need to remember, and to be reminded over and over and over that our Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has undertaken suretyship engagements on the account of his people, and those that thou gavest me, he said, I have lost none. I've kept every one of them. And as I was trying to illustrate to you my own experience, my own feelings at times, my waverings, my doubts, my fears. Am I his? Am I going through the motions? Is this just a facade? I'm reminded, and it's always a help to my poor soul when it dawns upon me that those who are really God. Let me put it this way. That which God really has, he never loses. If I'm really his, he won't lose me. We'll never be lost if we're really his. Because he never loses anything that belongs to him, Bob. I lose the keys to my car. I lose a pencil or I lay down my wallet. Nothing in it. But I lay it down and I think, well, I'm going to go here or there. I better get my wallet because my driver's license is in it. And I can't find my wallet. And I look in this pair of pants and this pair. I look here where I hide it and there and I can't find it. But what really, in fact, this is what I'm trying to emphasize, what God has that really belongs to him, he never loses. And that makes my day when that comes to my heart that I'm His and He's mine. And He ain't going to lose me. And our Lord says, I have kept them. Every one of them. All that the Father giveth to me, I've kept them. I've kept them. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. Well, this great shepherd of the sheep, he looked upon the sheep of his pasture as belonging to his Father. Those of us, he said here, those that are not of this fold, I must bring them. And so he looks upon all of his sheep as belonging to his Father, and his Father had given them to his charge, and it indicates that the Father hath said unto him, of thine own hand will I require. And he won't lose them. I've kept them all. I won't lose a one of them. All that the Father hath given to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, for no reason, no circumstances, will cast out. You remember the story in the Old Testament about Jacob, how he kept Laban's flocks. Laban was his uncle. And Jacob went there and worked for him. And he became his flock master. Well, it says in the Old Testament there that during the days that he kept the flock, he was devoured by the heat. And at night, he had to deal with the cold and the frost. And it says that he was more careful with them because they belonged to his uncle Laban. Very careful with them. And when he was given charge of them, he was to account for every one of those sheep that belonged to his uncle Laban. The sheep committed to him, and he kept them. And the Bible says he didn't lose a single solitary one of Uncle Laban's sheep. And why was he so careful in keeping them? Is because they belong to his uncle. And we belong to the Father. And so he keeps us. Now his prayer for his people is, he prays for them because they belong to the Father and they have a peculiar value in the eyes of his Father. And the next reason is because they belong to the Father. And he's under the suretyship engagement, as he was, as Jacob was with his uncle Laban, to deliver them all to the Father on that last day, when this thing's all over with. God's going to require them at His hand. And He says, I'll keep every one of them unto that day. I've undertaken to fulfill all the requirements and all the stipulations of the covenant. And He said in verse 10 there, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in thee. Now listen. They are thine, all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Now, It is all pronouns here. What they call in English possessive pronouns. To show that God looks upon His people as His portion, His possession, and His property. They shall be mine. The Bible says in the last chapter of the book of Malachi, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, when I make up my jewels. Proprietorship, possession, they're His property. Everybody here, I'm sure, has something or other that he values above everything else. It may be your wife or your children, or it may be some... I heard him talking the other day that he has a muzzle-loading rifle that's 200 or 300 years old and came down through his ancestors from his grandfather, and his grandfather got it off. So it's a valued possession. They said, well, we thought maybe you sold that. Oh, no, Bob said, I wouldn't sell that. I had some other guns I sold them, but I wouldn't sell that gun. Why the valued possession? Is that what you said, Bob? Valued possession, wasn't it? Well, listen, everybody has something or other that he values over and above the rest of his belongings. I'm not saying that Bob values his shotgun over his wife. I don't mean that. But I mean these little old personal belongings that a guy has. He values them. He values them. I have a dog. I value my dog. Not over Martha, the boys, the grandchildren, or Pat, but I value that dog. Ain't nothing but a dog. But I value him like that dog. Well, these expressions here, where he says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. These expressions here, they're all applied to the Lord's people. To you, if you be the Lord's people here this morning, if I'm one of His and you're one of His, all these applies to you. You're the Lord's special treasure. He values you over everything else in His possessions. Special treasures. These things are applied to the Lord's own people. That is His saints. Mine, where it says, and all mine. That is His saints. That is His people. And then He goes on and He says, all mine, that's the saints, are thine. That's the saints too. And thine, that's the saints, are mine, and that's the saints. All these expressions are applied to those that God gave the Son before the world ever was. They belong to God in the matter of election. They're given to the Son to redeem and to make atonement for. And He says, I've kept them all. I've kept them all. I haven't lost any one of them. And He's not going to. All mine are thine. That is the saints. Now the marks of possession are numerous and many here. And they're all placed on one object. Read it again. All mine are thine. Thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Marks of possession, numerous. They're all placed on one object. Some say, does not God care for anything else? Has he not got other things besides his sheep? No, that's the answer. When compared to his people, silver and gold are mine, cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. Oh, what is there that God has not? Everything's his. All things are of God. All things are by God, and all things are through God, and there was nothing made that was not God's. But all of this, in comparison to his people, are as nothing. That's how much God cares and loves. They are that which he values over above everything else. And I'm glad. You know how you value your children, don't you? Huh? You value your children much more than you do anything else, don't you? You'd be a strange parent if you didn't value your children over and above everything else that you possess. There's a few, I guess, in this world that do not have those values, but for the most part, regardless of how wicked and evil a man is, he does value his children. Well, suppose there's a fire in your house tonight, and you could only carry one thing out of that fire. You would not hesitate a second as to deciding what that one thing was. If your children was there, you'd grab that child, wouldn't you? And we'll say you just had this one new baby, and that house was on fire. Would you sit down and say, now what shall I take out of that house? Shall I get the safe? Shall I get the deed for the house? Shall I get my valuables? Shall I get my precious silver and my antiques? Shall I get my gold and my old coins? Shall I get my suit that I just bought and paid? What shall I get? You wouldn't even, that wouldn't cross your mind. You'd run up there and get that precious child and put that child to your breast and run outside and said, burn up! I've got the most precious, most valuable thing in that house outside, and I'm safe. God cares for his people over and beyond everything else in his creation. In this prayer that I'm talking about here this morning, it's the Son of God speaking with the Father. It's not the Son of God speaking to us. It's the Son of God speaking with the Father. And he's speaking with the Father when they are in an intimate relationship, communion, sweet communion with the Father and the Son with the Father. A fellowship, one with another. What do people talk about when they are alone? What does a husband and his wife talk about when they're alone? They have a relationship, a communion, sweet communion. They don't talk about how much does a dozen of eggs cost. Huh? when they have this oneness, this intimate relationship when they're alone. They don't say to one another what they normally say to others. They're not saying, well, this is a nice day. They're not saying, well, it's supposed to be 80 tomorrow. No, in private, a man and his close friend or a man and his wife, what do? They lay bare their hearts. This is the Son of God and the Father, and He lays bare His heart. I pray for them, not for the world. They are thine, and mine, and all thine are mine. The object of the conversation, the laying bare of His heart, is His people. His people, in this case, most of them were fishermen and peasants. Poor, poor, poor sinners like ourselves, without a single solitary thing in us of any value that could enhance or add to the glory of God. Oh, how precious that the believer is to God the Father and to God the Son. Do you have any idea this morning how much God loves His own? Any idea? Ain't no way of telling it out, are they? The Lord Jesus loves us. God the Father loves us. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. Why? Well, one reason why He loves us so is because we belong to the Father. Because they are thine. The Father loves us. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us because we belong to the Father. Does it not say, My Father hath chosen them? My Father loves them. And I read to you at the outset here that My Father loves them. My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me. And He said, I lay down My life for them, for the sheep, and I'll take My life up again for the sheep, and I'll live throughout eternity for My sheep, for My people. He says that over and over again. Why? Because we belong to Him. He's ransomed us. He who was bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, gave Himself for us. All mine are thine, and all who are the sons are the Father's. Do we belong? Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Huh? If we do, then we belong to the Father. Huh? Can I sing this today? Can I sing this, the dying thief? Rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins. Huh? Then you belong to Him. And you belong to the Father. And He loves you. Over and above every other valuable that He has. Silver and gold and cattle on 1,000 hills are but specks on the horizon when compared to His love for His people. And the last thing he says, I am glorified in them. How can that be? How can he be glorified in you and I this morning? Listen, the Son can be reflected. Great Son up there. But you need proper objects to act as reflectors of the Son. And the brighter they are, the better they'll reflect. You and I, it does not seem to me that we have the power of reflecting His glory. It seems like that we spoil and we ruin and pollute and corrupt every good thing that falls upon us by the hand of the Father. Yet He says, I am glorified in them. Glorified in us. It's there, isn't it? Yet I am glorified in them. Listen what else he said. While I was with them in the world, verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them in my name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost. That which really belongs to Him, He never loses. The son of perdition that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He was never one of His. Judas never belonged to Him. You know, I know what the popular... I tell you, the most damning thing in religion, in this world this morning, is this proposition that men tell other men that God loves everybody. As hard as that sounds, it's true, God doesn't love everybody. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them's lost. None of them. But the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He never belonged to Him. He never belonged to Him. He never was washed in the blood. He never was clean. And now come I unto thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world. They're not of the world. They don't talk like the world. They don't walk like the world. They're not joined to the world. They're separate from the world. They're different. They're different. Even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but I pray that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Keep them from the devil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. All mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Don't get anything else out of what I said. Get this. How much God loves His children. Loves him is seen in the fact that he took the son of his bosom and sent him to make atonement for their sin. If that doesn't tell us the great love of God for those that he sanctified and set apart in eternity past, that he would take the son of his bosom, his only begotten son, and send him to discharge all the liabilities that was against the people that he chose. Sent him. And he came gladly and willingly to pay their debt, to discharge all these liabilities, to be punished in their stead against their sin, to lay down his life they might take it up again. The love of God in Christ Jesus. Let's stand.